Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Keon, we saw a lot of Keon in the first half. What was twice he on the field, whereas other guys who've been starters or first unit guys not out there?
Because I decided and talked to Keon and wanted to see him work on some things and continue to develop and try to continue to improve. He was excited about playing. He wanted to play more. That's kind of our whole job, is to be ready to play and prepared until told otherwise. So, just try to work on some things that we had been talking about and do it in game action.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Ted Johnson, Dan Ball filling in for Fitzy. About a half hour from now, we'll talk to our buddy Mike Giardi, get his thoughts on the rat infestation down in Foxborough, as well as the rest of the storylines coming out of the preseason finale. But that was Mike Vrabel talking about Keon White, who, this is not going to be very nice, but I think Keon White has become one of the most overrated players on the Patriots in recent years.
Nailed it. Defend.
Keon White, well, a lot of people think he's like a 15-sack guy. The only problem is he's not a 15-sack guy. He had that one great game against the Browns, I believe. He is a very ominous-looking figure. He's got you look at him and you see badass. Right? He looks like he should kill people. I've always said,
looks the part.
If his career doesn't work out and I ever need a bouncer for a club or anything I own, Keon White is first on my list. He looks like a guy that no one would F with.
He's been the voice of "We're playing with violence" this year,
playing
too,
with violence
in the preseason.
Yeah.
In his vernacular, the way he talks has got an intensity to it that is very unique. I've been around intense guys. He's more intense than anybody I've ever been around.
But what I need him to do is to produce. To actually
channel that into
succeed.
Good football play.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's sort of the anti, in a way, Dietrich Wise. I thought Dietrich Wise was a really nice guy, really like happy-go-lucky guy, but he produced. He had a nice career here for whatever he was, 5-6 years.
He did.
Keon White is a second-round pick. He's a second-round pick,
right? He's a second-round pick at Georgia Tech.
I feel like a lot of second-round picks we're talking about that aren't really good. But he was out there last night when most of the quote-unquote starters or top players weren't. You heard Vrabel talk about it. They had a conversation, told him he wanted to work on things. Ted Johnson, thoughts?
Yeah, I think, look, I've always been kind of critical of Keon White, and I've always called him a poor man's version of Jadeveon Clowney. And what do I mean by that? J.D. Clowney, if you ever look at his combine videos, it's kind of fascinating. Like how, like he would test out, like one of the, I forget what his, I got to look it up, but his broad jump. So the broad jump measures power and explosiveness.
Yeah.
So he had the most insane broad jump ever. I mean, ever. It was incredible. And if you watch him play, his get off is very powerful and he gets into you and it's, you go, wow, look at all that power. But ask him to turn the corner and drop his hips and get small, can I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Edge rushers got to have loose hips and be able to get their hips turned to get around the corner to make sacks. You can't just be power. Keon White is just a power guy. He doesn't have any other secondary or third moves in his arsenal, so he's limited what he can do as a pass rusher. He's basically a glorified, undersized defensive end, and that's really what he is, but he's all. But people think he's more than that when he's really not.
Also, from what I see, getting back to the power
and the fact that he was playing last night, please to work on things. he's been demoted. That shows you where he is on the pecking order on the depth chart.
But he also tends to lean on his power because that's his strength.
Real quick, go ahead, Dan. You got it. You got you got the J.D. Clowney numbers.
This is broad jump. Yeah.
Yep.
10'4" on his broad jump.
Please.
What was yours?
Like 9'6".
Wow. Do you remember your, did you do the three cone
And I can't remember what it was.
Okay, it was
the 2.4 something, I think.
Okay, Clowney's was 727, which was less than Dietrich Wise. So I was trying to look more at horizontal movement as you're talking about. But anyways, continue.
Yeah, he's definitely a power based guy, and he's a power based guy that I always get the feeling. You know how I told you that I'd rather drive the ball, crush the ball into the woods than hit it down the middle. I think he would rather bull rush the guy in front of him past the quarterback. Just prove to you I'm stronger than this guy, and it doesn't matter that the quarterback is now 5 yards behind me throwing the football. Like, he'd rather just show how strong he is and powerful he is.
He'd rather be the scene from The Blind Side where he throws him over the over the fence at the end of the end zone.
Whereas, you need, as you said, to have a secondary move, adjust, react to the play, stay in your lane, all these cliche things. I don't really see it.
There's not a dynamic piece to his game.
Right.
Just not.
And I think he's built for one-on-ones, so that's why you'll get the Greg Bedards that were Keon White was 4-0-1 in one-on-ones today. Yeah, what did that get me? What did it get me? Did it get me anything? Did it ever turn into actually productive pressure or sacks in a game setting? So
that's a high draft pick in recent years that is probably on his way. I think he's going to stick around because he's not playing on a second contract like Kyle Duggar, so he's more affordable. But he's... My feeling is they're not happy about his progress.
Right, and I'd also put him on the same, I think if I listed the roster 1 to 53, he'd make it. I think he is probably in that world, and as you said, he's not making a ton of money. There can't even really be a financial decision, and he preaches what I think Terrell Williams wants to do, the violence and all of that.
Exactly.
But in the end, do I feel long-term he's part of a successful defense? No. I think he's holding down a spot until somebody better comes down and takes the spot from him.
And to this point, I think the name that jumps him on the depth chart is the guy that you've struggled to pronounce, Kalavon Chaisson. He's the guy that's had a tremendous camp.
Yes,
you've
has.
Heard nothing but good things. It seems like he profiles out at more of what this current scheme is looking at in terms of his athletic build.
Yep.
And I think you're looking at him and Harold Landry on the outside, and then White is kind of mixing his way in. So that seems to be the one for one.
And true, those guys to me are true edge rushers. Now, I don't know if they're as good as we've sort of painted them as this summer. They're probably not, honestly. White is more of a tweener. I don't even see him as a real edge guy. He's an edge / sub-interior rusher kind of guy. But you already have $190 million wrapped up in the defensive tackle athlete positions with Barmore and Williams. It's where do you really fit? And
so does he become a trade candidate then? Were they showcasing him a little bit last night?
Yeah.
I don't know. Kyle Duggar? I don't know. These are the conversations we have.
Well, that's the one problem, though. I get if you don't want a guy, the first thing you do is you try to trade him.
Yeah.
But it's like a yard sale. When no one buys it, then you just put it at the end of the driveway with a free sign on it and hope somebody comes by so you don't have to pay to have the junk guy come and take it.
Right.
That's what I feel like some of these guys are. Are these guys – we also need to real quick remember, do we think the Patriots have one of the bottom 6 or 7 rosters in football?
Yeah,
okay.
Of course.
So your garbage is almost automatically worse than the garbage of other teams, right? You're not up –
That's how they'll look at it.
Right.
Your trash is not their treasure.
No.
Right.
You're living in the mediocre neighborhood and it's your garbage, not in the rich neighborhood where you're like, that TV looks like it still works. I'm bringing that home.
Can I take the steering wheel real quick?
Absolutely. Steer it.
All right, I'm going to steer real quick.
No sleeves, but a steering wheel.
What do you guys think of old Russell Wilson last night? They did an interview on the sideline. There's douchey, there's douchiest, and then there's and then there's Russell Wilson.
Yes.
Yeah, he's the worst.
That guy, you know what? They interviewed him, and just listened to him talk, and you're just like, I would want to punch him in the face if I was his teammate.
I think people do.
Oh. And then real quick, you know who kind of impressed me a little bit? Marte Mapu played middle linebacker.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Oh. And I just thought I thought he did a halfway decent. It almost looks silly that he's in there playing middle linebacker. So he's backing up Robert Spillane because he's just so undersized, but not bad. Had good reads and I thought filled pretty decently and plays bigger than he is. So, and then Jeremiah Webb, please. At least could put him. He'll make the practice squad. I'd love to see this kid get caught up one day.
Is Mapu on the roster?
He is.
Yeah, he's making the team.
Oh no!
Oh, I thought you meant No.
I watched with my eyes last night too, guys. Don't worry.
That's interesting.
Come on. Is he on the 53-man roster?
You've been fixating on a backup for Robert Spillane
because I just worry he's going to get hurt.
What about my guy Gibby? Dr. Gibby, you see that forced fumble?
Did you see
chase down Jackson Dart?
Did you see the wide open tight end.
Yeah, he can't cover.
He totally left his. He didn't even. He was. He had a man to man, and he totally took his eyes off of him. Went to the quarterback.
It happens.
And then the okay,
it's preseason
right,
for them
right,
too.
All right.
I don't know why I'm defending. I just like the guy. He
so
seems
Cole
like a
Strange
nice guy.
Is at a crossroad, but Dr. Gibby, because he has a cool nickname, is untouchable.
No, but you know what I'll tell you, Dr. Gibby is
what
a Vrabel guy.
Yeah, for sure.
So like, if it's close. I think Dr. Gibby gets the benefit of the doubt. Vrabel, he might even go with the, I know he struggles in coverage, but I know exactly how he struggles. I have a knowledge of him from the past. Because the whole Dr. Gibby nickname, in case no one remembers, is because when he was an undrafted player, Vrabel would ask him questions, and he always had the right always answer, the perfect answer.
Right.
And he called him a doctor because of that. Yeah. So when you have that relationship with a coach, if it's close, it's, you're making the roster.
Mapu's out. He'll be gone. So another draft pick.
Yes.
You know what? High draft pick, too. Third round. Third rounder. But I just remember when they drafted him, he was so versatile. Like, it was amazing. And then last thought, the draft pick kicker, Borgalis, misses another one.
Not good.
That's an interesting, what do? Do you keep the, do you keep the veteran who actually was pretty decent last year kicking?
Absolutely.
You know, I deal with the veteran. I would rather take the veteran kicker than I would the draft pick.
Andy, weren't you surmising that a Foxborough fluke could come out of this?
That's what happened.
You didn't hear he pulled his hammy on that missed field goal?
Yep.
You didn't note it? Did they not say that last night? Oh, they meant to say that.
Do you know how many good, there's a lot of good kickers in this league that most of them never work out with the first teams they get drafted.
Correct.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
All correct, which is weird.
It happens, probably more than any position.
And I know Curran had that line with us weeks ago, like the only good kicker is an old kicker or something. There is something to be said for experience and failing the first. We always talk about head coaches. They fail the first time, and then you do better the second because you know what you messed up. Seems like kickers are some
all the time.
Weirdly the same story. But this goes back to, are you keeping the best players, Ted? If you're keeping the best players, then Romo's the kicker, right? Like these guys are at practices. They're at the games. And not only did – okay, so you missed one last night, which wasn't terrible. It was just wide right a little bit.
He pushed it right. A 49-yarder. A 49-yarder.
The 57 last week, I mean, it was never
– never close.
Never had a shot.
Hooked it left.
And Vrabel even said something about he was most disappointed with they rushed out there and then shanked it, almost like he wasn't ready for the situation. He wasn't ready to go. So he was disappointed in that operation and then kind of scrambling to get the kick. And maybe that played into the miss. I don't know how you can say I'm putting the best team on the field and say, oh, yeah, Borgalis is the kicker.
Right, just for the sake of he's a draft pick. I'm trying to make the most of my draft pick.
Right. Feels like we're having this conversation a lot about some of these draft pick questions and guys and why they're staying. It's money, it's draft pick, it's the best player kind of thing.
And I like so far, it seems like more times than not, they're not being loyal to a fault with these guys. It seems like they are more times than not willing to make the tough decision. We'll see if they continue with Strange and Mapu and these guys that are kind of hangers on. But
it's easier to make tough decisions with other people's players.
Well,
because no one blames you. I didn't take Cole Strange in the first round. I didn't draft Mapu. I didn't draft Polk.
Yep. Yep.
Borgalis, he's staying. He's the kicker.
You know what's going to be an underrated, interesting part of our weekend is the activity for the Patriots.
That's already started, which I find interesting.
So have teams started and they announced that they have let go of 14 players.
Yep, right.
City Sow's interesting. Another draft pick, recent draft pick, a fourth rounder. This is a critical time for your front office to make some good maneuvers. It's kind of similar to, like, you know, the Red Sox trade deadline to some degree, not with as much pressure, but there's going to be scrutiny. You can really make a move or two that can mean the difference in winning games in what you do in the next 4 days.
And Dan Ball, your roster projection that we're going to talk about a little over an hour from now at 5:30.
Yes.
I can guarantee you is wrong because I can virtually guarantee what Ted is saying is right. And there are players that will be on the 53-man roster to start the year that are not with the organization presently.
Oh, 100%. And I saw your boy Giardi tweet that he thinks there's going to be a decent amount of roster activity from that deadline on Tuesday onward.
Well, I even think maybe beforehand they're getting the cuts done early. Maybe you get out there early because one of the national writers, drawing a blank now, NFL Network guy, he put out a tweet that yesterday that said something to the effect like, been told, prepare for one of the most interesting active cut down trade maneuvering weekends. No, NFL.
Oh,
wow,
NFL.
That a lot could go down. Now, obviously, a lot of people will jump to McLaurin or Parsons or some of the big names.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be that level for it to be, impactful.
No.
Brian Robinson. Like, there's a lot of guys out there that could change teams. But Vrabel said it today or last night. When he was asked about the roster, he said, you know, we're going to work over the next 2 weeks to make this roster better. And I was like, the way he was so forthcoming about it was interesting to me.
I love it.
Like, I love it, but I was a little bit surprised because they have turned it over a lot. They've done a lot of work already in free agency and the draft and all of that. But for him to just say, and he said, I think it could be trades, it could be claims.
But you know what it is? They know their team so much better today than they did a month ago.
Even. Right.
So they now they can make more what they think are better informed decisions about their roster than they even could, you know, a month or two ago.
Sure, because they've actually worked with them every day, coached them, practiced with them. And we keep saying it. We know there's a lot of holes on this team. Even now there's almost feels like some holes that we didn't even know were holes.
Like what?
The secondary.
Yeah.
Like, we thought we were penciling in this secondary to be the strength of the team. It's going to be really good. You got two veteran corners, an all-pro over here, a veteran over here. You got a couple safeties that have been here for a couple. Like, and now it's like, well, Duggar may or may not be here.
Right.
And Jabril Peppers was also playing last night in the preseason finale when most people called starters weren't playing.
They said they wanted to see how he looked next to Woodson, which, again, you can believe it, you cannot. Same thing with Keon White. They wanted him to work on some stuff. Okay.
Imagine if they cut Peppers and kept Duggar.
Wait.
Vrabel loves Duggar. And I don't
so
say
why
this.
Is he playing? Peppers.
You know why? Because there used to just be 10 days between the last preseason game and the start of the season. Now there's 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, so like, there's the season so far off to not get some meaningful reps. I think if I'm a player, I would have wanted more meaningful reps in that third preseason game. Considering the next real game is 2 weeks away.
Right. Right.
Yeah. To your point about the secondary too. I mean, your two starting corners out of the six opportunities you had to see your starters, you saw them once. In a preseason game, you had Carlton Davis for a series, and then he was gone. So your safeties, you're not even sure if you have two starters, let alone who they are.
Nope.
Your corners, you know who your starters are, but you barely saw them in the preseason, and you don't really know what their status is. And all of a sudden, that's gone through something that seemed to be kind of set it and forget it strength around OTAs into not so much.
I mean, there's things that you wonder, like, you know, are you feeling real good about your right tackle? Who hasn't practiced hardly at all.
I feel terrible about it.
You know, like, I was feeling pretty good about our top two corners, but, you know, our top guy pulled his hamstring and the other guy hardly practiced. Yeah. And then you got Steph Diggs. So, yeah, he came back, you know, earlier than we thought from an ACL tear, but, you know, he hasn't really been playing that much either. Like, there's a lot of things that kind of going into training camp you're, like, feeling pretty good about, and then you leave coming out and you're like, I'm not sure I feel better about these situations.
I probably shouldn't ask you this going to break, but hell, what do I know? What do you feel really good about for the Patriots? You just mentioned it. Like, there were things we thought we felt. The defensive tackle or defensive front we came into camp was supposed to be a strength. I don't know if I feel great about it. The corners, what do you feel really good about?
Running back.
Good answer. Well, no.
Why?
Terrible answer.
What are you
talking? Ramondre Stevenson, I haven't seen him for a week and a half.
Yeah,
I don't
but
know.
For everything you lost with Stevenson, you've gained with TreVeyon Henderson, no?
Yeah, but I think we've all agreed TreVeyon Henderson not ready to be the lead dog for 17 weeks, number one guy.
Well, get ready to learn three down back, TreVeyon, because that's what we're asking for you this year.
So, Ted, what do you feel good about?
You know what? If you're going to not like the answer, but I'm going to tell you to go pound sand. So,
classic.
It's I like that there's buy-in. I don't sense that these guys are not bought in. I couldn't have said that about Gerard Mayo last year, and
true.
I certainly could tell you that there was not buy-in with Bill Belichick in the last 3 or 4 years he coached here. I am the most thing I'm most optimistic is at least they're buying these players what Vrabel's selling.
Can I give
that
you another one? Can
and
I try
more to talent would get you to the playoffs. Buy-in alone, yep. I'm not sure how far that gets you.
Can I give you one more that you're probably going to tell me I'm wrong? I like the way that the depth in the wide receiver room has rounded out. I like Chisholm. I like the way Booty's taken a step, and I like how Holland seems to be forming a relationship with May right off the bat.
Okay. I mean,
I'm scrounging for things. Would you like to throw anything else in there, Mr. Positivity?
I got nothing.
Okay.
I got absolutely nothing.
Coaching.
There is no aspect of this team other than coaching that I feel really good about heading into the season.
You know, Drake, I was hoping the answer would have been Drake May.
I don't.
And
I'm fine. I'm not jumping off the ship, but I don't feel great about it. There is nothing I feel great about. And the running back could have been one without two things. the Ramondre Stevenson fumble in the practice and then the injury. Those two things?
Yes.
Not a big fan of those.
Okay.
So that removes that position.
Awesome.
Offensive line, don't ask me. Wide receiver, don't ask me. Quarterback, not great. Defensive front, not great. No depth at linebacker.
Tight end hasn't really changed.
Pass rush undersized. Nah. Tight end is meh. Cornerbacks are barely out there. Safety, don't know who it is. Ooh. Kicker kind of stinks if it's going to be the rookie. Otherwise, it's a veteran journeyman. So, what do we feel good about?
So, Behringer.
So do we get to give our updated
We'll put a pin in that. We'll visit that later in the show. We are definitely updating our records. I don't think I can go much lower, though. I already went pretty low after last week.
What are you at?
Six.
Oh, Lord.
You can only go in half game.
Yeah.
For one more week, and then next week we got to make a decision.
Up next, we'll talk to our guy who always sees sunshine. That's Mike Giardi. We'll ask him, what is he like? What does he really like about the New England Patriots now that the training camp practices and preseason games are in the books? Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons, it's Friday. That means it is time for the best football-related phone hit in the business, which means the best football-related phone hit open in the business.
It's time for Mike Giardi.
Stink, stank, and stunk.
The bulging in his disc in his back. The bulging disc in his back.
What do you gain by keeping Bill Belichick around?
I want to see as much Drake May as possible.
Angry Giardi is here.
Wiggy appears to have a bit of a man crush on Cam.
I don't know if you want to take the cheese again.
Mike Giardi, folks, is an angry man.
I'm not pissed today.
I've got you by at least 2 inches.
On Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. How are we doing this afternoon?
Wonderful. How are you guys?
How is Stink, good, Stank, Mike. Stunk not in that open?
It is.
It is in the open.
I missed it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know this is going to blow your mind, but you weren't listening.
I always listen.
Okay.
I mean, it's been in there since day one.
Yeah.
Sorry. Wow. You're going to question me?
Maybe I'm the wrong person to question you. But
Dan can question me. You can't question me.
That's a real man.
You know, he slipped up, too, in that intro about a bulging disc. I don't know if you caught that one as well. Did you catch that one, too?
This reminds me of 7th grade English when the teacher asked about the red dress in Schindler's List, and I said, there was a red dress?
Oh,
missed it.
Brother.
Yeah, it happens.
Hey, you're killing the game, Andy.
Yeah. So, Mike Giardi, I need to ask you right off the bat. Mike Vrabel, a fellow Mike, last night, talked about sniffing out rats in his organization. What the hell was that all about, and was he talking about Elliot Wolf?
I do not know if he was talking about Elliot Wolf. My initial thought was that might have been aimed at Jalen Polk and his agent, that maybe they were the cause of the leak. But then I've done some investigating, and apparently there's been a couple other things that have come out of Foxborough that Mike hasn't liked. So I don't know who it's directed at. I don't know who's responsible. But he is clearly trying to create a situation in which one message comes from one guy, and that's me, maybe.
We were on it. We have thoughts on who that might be there, G, man.
I guess I'll ask just more generally your opinion and observations of the first, call it 6 months-ish, of the Vrabel and Wolf relationship and how they're dealing with splitting power.
I think it's been okay. You know, like, look, it's complicated. I mean, let's face it. Ryan Cowden is there in the office, and that's Mike's ears and eyes. And, you know, you do the thing with Elliot Wolf, and then the next day Cowden talks. Well, you know, last year it was Elliot Wolf and Matt Groh. Elliot talked, but then Matt Groh didn't talk. So, you know, maybe the titles were a little different, and maybe that's why they feel compelled to do it. But it sure felt like, well, if we bring out the crafts guy or the guy that stayed here in Elliot, we've got to bring out Mike's guy, who eventually is going to be a GM either here or somewhere else, and have him talk as well. So, it's a little convoluted for sure, because let's face it, they're still in the early stages of this process, but at least they can look at the draft, which, again, I don't know who had the most sway in the draft, but like they can look at it and go look at that draft board and say, we got some good players here. So, you know, whether it was you or me or we did it as a collaboration, we did it, and now we'll see, you know, what it looks like going forward.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be watching this closely, though, Mike. This is interesting. But, hey, how busy do you think Ryan Cowden's going to be this weekend? I mean, there's a lot of holes. The depth, to me, there's a lot of position groups that have depth issues. How busy do you anticipate them being this weekend?
So did you say Cowden there because you think Cowden's the one who's really in charge? Okay.
That's my feeling. He was leading the witness.
He really was. Unless, it was good, though.
You tell me. Who in the front office is going to be busiest?
Yes, Andy, I was listening, though. See, I picked up on that. If you listened, you would pick up on it.
Quite a concept.
I think they're going to be busy. I think that they have more players, better players on this year's roster than last year's. But when you still look at that back end of the roster, the six or seven spots, it's like you could probably do better. You could probably do better. And I think they're going to work the waiver wire. And I think there'll be some trades, although I don't think they're going to be as I've talked about, I don't think it's the Trey Hendrickson, Terry McLaurin, that sort of thing. It's going to be more like, you know, your third guard is better than our third guard. So we'll give you a corner that you don't have and a seventh round pick to, so we don't have to go through that process on the waiver wire. We can assure that we get that. So I think that's more what you're looking at. I mean, because you look at, say, I don't know that anybody really at safety other than Woodson and Peppers have stood out. That could be an area where there could be some movement. I think the interior offensive line, you know, I think they're going to be guys who make it on the 53 at 4 o'clock on Tuesday. And if they can find an upgrade, those guys will be shot to the moon right away. So I think those are a couple spots where there'll definitely, I think, be some action.
Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal on WEEI Afternoons. Let's play a quick game. So I want to do rapid fire. I'm just going to say here or gone for a few names, okay? I don't need, like, a ton of analysis, just rapid fire here. It's like TV. We got a segment here. We got to bang it out. Kyle Duggar.
All right.
Kyle Duggar, here or gone?
Got it.
Here.
Here, okay. Interesting.
Why? Because I don't think anyone's going to take the contract. Yep. Go ahead.
Okay. Yep. Keon White, here or gone?
Here.
Cole Strange, here or gone?
Gone.
Ooh. And I had one more. Damn it, I forgot.
Offensive line as well? No?
Borgalis.
Andy Borgalis.
Here, but I mean, because he got drafted. That's really the only reason why.
Did he pull a hammy last night and he might end up on IR?
Ooh, yeah, ooh, my arm. It's broken.
Oh, my arm.
That wouldn't be a bad way to go. But, look, I just still think, like, even though he missed the kick, his kickoffs have been better than Romo's, not only in games but in practice. And that's not an insignificant thing. No. So they would have loved to make that 49-yard field goal last night, and that certainly leaves the door open for Parker Romo, but I just sixth round pick. I think he stays.
Interesting. At least one area of the kicking game is halfway decent for him. Just the one that scores the points maybe needs a little bit of work. But on the topic of scoring points, the wide receiver room has obviously gotten a lot of attention. What, as you stand right here on August the 22nd, how do you construct your Patriots wide receiver room?
There would be six guys that I think should make the 53, and Efton Chisholm would be one of those guys that makes it. Kyle Williams, the other rookie, he makes it. Mac Hollins, Kayshon Booty, Pop Douglas, Steph Diggs. And that, I don't think Jalen Polk was headed to make the roster before he got hurt. And I think Javon Baker, I get the feeling they'd like to keep working with him, and it wouldn't surprise me if he made it through waivers. In fact, I'd pretty much feel pretty comfortable that he's going to make it through waivers, but that's a practice squad guy.
Yeah, that's I would vote the same way, Mike. I just want your kind of, now that you've seen training camp and all the preseason games, we got 16 days before the first game against the Raiders happens on September 6th. How do you feel about the offense? You know, I mean, we're not going to see him again perform for another over 2 weeks. Where is this offense at? Is the offensive line, how do you feel about it comparatively speaking to last year? The quarterback play comparatively speaking to last year? How do you just feel overall at this point in what the offense looks like?
So I feel better about what it is, certainly compared to last year, but there are certainly, like, there's issues. I mean, I was kind of going through it today. for a column I'm writing, and it was like, who's been their best offensive line? Well, it's Mike Nwenu. Nwenu's had a nice, solid camp. May still be overweight, but it's not affecting his play on the field. When he's been out there, he's been good. But probably their second best offensive lineman has been Will Campbell. And we know that it has been sort of a roller coaster with Will. His run blocking is good. His pass blocking is inconsistent. Sometimes it's downright bad. So what does that say to you? Like, the upside of him and Jared Wilson is certainly higher than the upside of whatever you had in that line last year. But there are going to be some growing pains, and especially if they're going side by side to start the season with two rookies. Like, that's, teams are going to do some stuff, and they're going to challenge them, and it's not always going to look pretty. So that can really, you know, throw off the whole vibe of the offense. You know, one or two bad series, and your quarterback no longer trusts his line. And then, you know, we've been here. We've seen that before. So that part of it. I will say, I think that I'm not calling him good. I'm not even sure I'm calling him average. But the wide receiver room is better. Like, the floor has been raised, and if you can get something, you know, again, I think we've talked about this, 85-90% of Diggs, what he was last year, like, that's pretty good, because Hollins is he's solid, you know, and Williams was coming on a little bit before he got the concussion. Pop has been their best receiver in camp. So, like, there's the arrow is pointing up, maybe not straight up, but it's pointing up a little bit at least.
Mike, as we've been, the cuts have started to come in. We've been talking about roster projections and who stays and camp being over and all these things. I asked these guys a question to end one of the segments, a very simple question with a difficult answer, I think. If I asked you, after everything you've seen this summer, what do you feel really good about with the Patriots? What would your answer be? Really good about?
Yeah, long pause.
I was going to say, Mike, did we lose you?
I would still say the interior of the defensive line. You know, I think Barmore had his best practice a couple days ago, and I think he's, you know, again, they've been managing him, but I think when he's been out there, you notice him. I think Milton Williams is a good player. I don't know if he's going to be great, but I think he's good. And then kind of the surprise is Kyrus Tonga, who is like lightning fast for a guy his size, and I think there's just more there. He's even talked about, like, I didn't know how to pass rush till I got here. Not that they're going to rely on him to, you know, get 20 pass rush snaps a game at 330 pounds, but, like, there's a little bit more to the player than I thought. And so that's a pretty good place to start, because I think there'll be a lot of attention on those guys if they can sort of live up to what they've been billed as coming in. So that's a spot I like, and I like the running back room.
I do too. Mike, we're up against it. Just what are your final thoughts on what you think are really more – really, what are your expectations of Drake May for this year? What do you want to see from Drake May? What do you expect from him this upcoming season?
So I expect that he's going to still turn the ball over a fair amount. I think that's just the part of where he is at his growth and part of where he is with his mentality. But I still think that the arrow is pointing up in that direction. I think he's had a decent camp. It wasn't an awesome camp. It wasn't like, oh my goodness, but I think it's been good enough. And I think the more comfortable he gets with the offense and with McDaniels, I think you'll see, you know, maybe he's not playing his best ball till November, but, like, I think that's fair. I think that's a fair place to kind of go as he learns the offense and gets comfortable with his guys and gets comfortable being the leader. Because as we've talked about, that's a place where Mike is really pushing him.
He is Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. Appreciate you joining us, Mike. You got big plans for the weekend because they're running out. The summer's just about over. We're almost football season, buddy.
Yeah, big plans called college.
Going to see Morgan Wallen?
Moving kids in?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, buddy.
Well, good luck with that.
Sir.
It's an emotional time, I know.
It's not going to be easy.
Nope. Well, hang in there, Papa.
It isn't. If you need somebody to have a beer with, you know where to find me.
All right, bud.
All right, see ya, man. Mike. Talk to you next week. Right. Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. Yes, Dan Ball.
Why did he not get yelled at for saying he liked the running back room? But I did.
Because he threw it in at the end, and I couldn't. I was thinking of harping on him, but I couldn't. His most telling answer,
fraud.
And I can't
fraudulent.
Ask.
Yeah, classic.
I can't ask Stiz to come back
he's
with his
producer.
Most telling answer because it was just the long pause when I asked him, "What do you really like? What's really good with this team?" Mm-hmm. Was like, "Hey, you still there? We're not done with the interview.
I'll get there. I'll think of something."
I thought that was telling. Although he did sound optimistic on a couple positions. We'll touch on that next. Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. What he likes about the Patriots after training camp. That's next on WEEI Afternoons.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
If I asked you, after everything you've seen this summer, what do you feel really good about with the Patriots? What would your answer be? Really good about? Mike, did we lose you?
I would still say the interior of the defensive line, and so that's a pretty good place to start because I think there'll be a lot of attention on those guys if they can sort of live up to what they've been billed as coming in. So that's a spot I like, and I like the running back room.
Mike Giardi, okay. Just moments ago. Mike Giardi is not usually, we've done a lot of these interviews, not usually at a loss for words or a loss for an answer. That was a telling, interesting, dramatic pause there. And you know what he fell back on? Money. He fell back on money.
Where's the money?
Right. That's the easiest place to answer. $190 million between Milton Williams and Christian Barmore.
Right.
And then he roped in Tonga, who
I think played better than what they thought.
Sure. Yeah. That's nice. Yeah. That's a nice story.
Nice story.
But who would
him on the head?
Who would I rather see play well, Tonga or, I don't know, Carlton Davis, Christian Gonzalez? Yeah. Like, those are, like, yeah. So I think it's telling when you step back for a minute and just say, here's what I have confidence in. Because I do think Vrabel wants an identity, and he wants things he can lean on and known commodities as they evolve as a football team, right? I don't know if he knows right now what he can really, really count on against the Raiders. And then a week later say, yep, it's still going to be good. It should be the defensive line. That's where I think Mike is right there. It should be the defensive line. The defensive tackle position should be the strength of this team and this defense.
You know what worries me a little bit? And my guess is they are concerned because have you for one practice heard a practice where you heard Milton Williams just wreck the practice?
Nope.
Have you heard one time that Steph Diggs was at practice and just caught every ball thrown to him and tore up the defense?
Well, you know what I thought was really telling with that? To go back to Tuesday at the Jimmy Fund Telethon, and I feel bad I forgot his name, the Eagles fan.
Yeah.
And we said something about Milton Williams, and he chuckled and said, good luck with that. That didn't make me feel good.
No.
The point is, like,
no, that's fair.
If you don't hear about these guys flashing, like, wow, Milton Williams today in practice was a beast.
Yeah.
You know, Stephon Diggs today in practice was a beast. Carlton Davis today in practice was – I haven't heard say that about Drake May, about all their top perceived players. That has me a little bit worried that I haven't heard them at least one practice out of training camp. You're going to hear one of these star players going off, and never once did I hear a report of any of them going off.
And it makes you wonder how many of these guys are just good, talented on their own, will figure it out, and how many, like seemingly Milton Williams, as was perceived by an Eagles fan – was good in the scheme that he was in, got a bunch of money because of the numbers he put it because of the scheme he was in, and then you get him in New England, and see what he's able to do.
Can I just say about Milton Williams, when I saw him for the first time, I'm like if you were to have Richard Seymour stand next to him or Willie McGinnis stand next to him or Ty Warren stand next to him, he'd look like a shrimp. Like they just don't make them like they used to, size-wise.
Nope.
It's amazing. I'm just talking about worried about – this team better get off the field on third down because that defense is going to wear down. They are not big, and they do not have depth.
617-779-7937. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to our buddy Tim in Hanover. What's up, Tim?
Guys, love you as always. I just want to say, man, I think this team is work in progress.
Mm.
And Mike Vrabel is the guy, man. I'm glad we got him. The thing is, you know what? They just got to emphasize to this kid – May, man. Just have him not throw the ball out. I want them all to do great. I really do. The thing is, I just have him keep it where he's not throwing the picks. If it's not there, throw it away. Come back another chance and pick it down the line on the outside, inside, where he's not going to get tips in there and cut his interceptions down. Same thing with the line. Our line is our weakness. Let's just do what we can. Like I say, I would have picked a free pick in the draft that went to New York, but I want this kid to do good. We got him. We own him. Let's see what we can do for them to help them grow.
Thanks for the call, Tim.
Okay, let the cake bake, huh? Just let them let them cook a little bit. Let's
have a little faith, Ted.
Yeah.
Come on, I hear faith. You, man. Optimism.
I think that's what where most people are at. I think people have a patience, an overall patience with what this team is, you know, trying to accomplish this year.
But faith is also generally connected to another word, blind.
Sure.
Blind faith. Like, we're trying to have eyes wide open and watch practice and watch preseason games and see what we see. And so far, I agree with Ted. Nothing has really jumped off the field. Injuries have played a role. No Stephon Diggs. It would help if Stephon Diggs was in preseason action. That might have given you something to latch onto.
Any preseason action.
Correct.
Give me just like Carlton Davis, give me a series.
Right. Something even like extrapolate from, be like, that one slant he caught. Like, he's going to do that.
Because that's not blind faith.
Right.
That's Drake May throwing to Stephon Diggs with my actual eyes that I'm seeing. Right. As opposed to, this is probably going to look good, I think.
Going into the season, to never have like a moment in a practice or in a preseason game where you were like, showing out would make me wonder if I was going to show out.
Correct.
Right.
To start the game week one.
Correct.
100%.
Otherwise, you just hope it's Randy Moss in 2007. When he pulled a hammy, he went away and came back awesome.
Right.
Fingers crossed, a lot of Patriots do that this year. They're not doing it in the preseason, but they're going to blow up in the regular season.
Maybe you'll get it once. To hope for that 53 times over, is that's a lot.
Let's go back to the phone lines real quick. Let's go to Brian in New London, Connecticut. What's up, Brian?
Hi, how are you? Good.
Good.
So I was trying to understand the whole talent evaluation process, and I get where the buck stops, or, you know, if it's Robert Kraft or whoever else in the organization, but it seems like I keep hearing that there are problems with that, and maybe where they land in the draft order as far as talent goes. Do they subscribe, or they have, like, consultants that feed them information that they evaluate, or they do it all themselves? Are there independent groups that, you know, with all the technology, that do film and everything else?
Thanks for the call, Brian.
No, Brian, I got
Teddy's
you.
Got the answer.
They don't outsource that. That is all. You won't see driveline guys. They don't. They don't outsource their Italian evaluators. All Italian evaluators are in house. They have all their scouts are in house. And that's just, each team has its own scouting department, and the scouting department that scouts the college players, and the scouting department that studies the pro players. So, that is not outsourced. That is an all in-house type of, operation.
Millions and millions of dollars invested in that, people and travel and everything that goes on. So that's all in-house. I'm with Ted. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, we're coming to the top of the 5 o'clock hour on a Friday. So that means we're going to have an extra special drive.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all got to stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.